There are church bodies out there who have at the center of their theology the law of God. This means doing things for God is the nexus of their teaching, while the forgiveness of God, the forgiveness of sins, is a little to the side, or maybe a lot to the side. Confessional historic Lutheranism has never seen it that way, but has always maintained that the center, the heart of theology and practice should always be the forgiveness of sins, also known as justification, God's legal declaration that you, the sinner, are declared righteous and innocent in his holy sight for the sake of Christ, who took all of your sins, your guilt, and has paid for all of it. Understanding this, God's teaching to man that the wicked, rebellious sinner is righteous in Christ, and that righteousness becomes yours not on account of works of the law, but by faith in the righteous one, affects how we look at and interpret all of Scripture, and it affects how we live as God's redeemed people. This is not some meaningless academic point. It is literally one of life or death. Central to our lives should always be Jesus and his sacrificial work of laying down his flesh on the altar of the cross to satisfy punishment under the law in your stead. Friends, it is on behalf of sinners that Christ dies. He rises to life. And his life is one that the baptized believer shares in, as we live in a creation that still strains, still groans under the weight of sin. Why do we place justification, God's forgiveness in Christ, at the center of it all? Not only because Scripture points us to Jesus and his redemptive work, but also because of our knowledge of sin. You see, in addition to understanding justification, confessional Lutheranism has always understood just how deep the corruption of sin that infects every person alive is. And this, in turn, causes us to realize how precious, how crucial it is to have the gift of God's mercy and love that is freely yours in Jesus. If you err in the doctrine of sin, you will err in how you see justification. In other words, all that means is if you think your sin isn't that bad, then God's forgiveness just isn't all that important. Today in the Beatitudes, we hear another declaration of God. The justified sinner is blessed in Christ and even possesses God's kingdom. At first glance, the Beatitudes may look like God's law for our lives, moral requirements laid down for us to observe in righteous living. However, I put before you that when we see the Beatitudes through the prism of justification, we find this word to be more than just mere law, but God actually describing the baptized believer. You see, the Beatitudes tell us who we are and what we have as God's people, who always do good works flowing from faith. Notice the first word of the Beatitudes is the word blessed. This is not a law word, it's a gospel word. The justified sinner is blessed in Christ. And as we hear Jesus describe his blessed saints, notice that our Lord is emphasizing heavenly things. He doesn't say stuff like, blessed is the one who has lots of money, blessed is the one who has stellar health, or the job promotion. That's not how our Lord speaks. To equate God's blessing with something earthly and temporal is really to diminish what it truly means to be blessed. If your mind is always set on earthly things, my friends, you're missing out. You're missing out on what God really has in store for you. If a blessing to you is always something temporal, well, be thankful for the good gifts that God gives you, certainly. But know that your Heavenly Father has more for you than this earthly existence. Forgiveness and life in heaven, these are gifts that are far greater than life here and now. We should always pray for and thank God for his temporal gifts, but set our sights on the true riches, the heavenly things that are yours on account of being blessed in Christ. The Beatitudes take place with Jesus on a mountain, and the text says he opened his mouth and he taught them. He opened his mouth and taught them. Now, you might be thinking that's a little redundant because when somebody teaches, they can't help but open their mouth. But the Holy Spirit is not being redundant here. The word mouth is often used in the Old Testament to speak of the mouth of God from which his word comes forth. The Beatitudes take place in Matthew chapter 5. But did you know in Matthew chapter 4, that's when Jesus reminds us, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So when you get to Matthew chapter 5, and we hear that Jesus opened his mouth, that is the Holy Spirit teaching us what the church has confessed for millennia. It's what we confess in our creeds, that Jesus is true God, absolutely divine in every way, while wearing flesh and blood. In the person of Jesus on this mountain before his people, God is again giving his word. He opens his mouth and he declares his faithful people to be blessed. Living the blessed life is not to mean the easy life. The life of any Christian isn't one without pain. A lot of times that pain comes from other people. And a lot of times we suffer pain as we suffer and wrestle with our sinful flesh and we deal with the sting of sin and guilt. Being poor in the Spirit is being afflicted while living in the Spirit. You have spirit, but you have flesh. The new man and the old man. We are saints and sinners in this life, my friends. The new man says amen to God's blessed word, while the old man, the sinner in us all, rages against God and seeks evil. Struggling just to believe and even come to church is hard. But Christ declares his saints, his people who deal with affliction, suffering, and pain, he says that they are blessed, and they even have his kingdom. Theirs is the kingdom, says our Lord. So my friends, as you wrestle, as you are afflicted, as you feel poor and beggarly, God gives you his kingdom in Christ. You have it even now. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Keep in mind, the poor have nothing to give. The needy need things to survive, and that's how it is with all of us. With all of us, spiritually, we come before God, poor and needy, beggars before his throne as we deal with sin, as we deal with temptation. As we cry out for mercy and grace, we have nothing to offer. And what does God do? He puts into our hands his kingdom. He says, theirs is the kingdom. Listen carefully. The Lord Jesus does not say, theirs will be. He says, theirs is. This is present tense language, a present tense reality. It's something you have now as a baptized believer. You have his kingdom all by faith in Christ, and Christ declares you blessed for it. Therefore, I really hope that you never, ever, ever stay away from church because you are upset. And if you ever cry in church, then know this. I can't think of a better place to shed a tear. If you cannot mourn, if you cannot cry in church, then I ask you, just where can you cry? So if you're sad this day, if you're weeping because of sin and pain in this fallen world, if you're still mourning the loss of a loved one on this All Saints Day, and I know some of you are, my friends, hear the word of your Lord, the word of your Savior, who looks at you, he sees your tears, and you know what he says? Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. We mourn over many things, and often our mourning is because we want to see our loved ones who have died in Christ before us. We miss them. We miss them a lot. And hopefully we all understand the pain of death, that death isn't right. Death was not in the world before the fall when creation was pristine and perfect. Death is the penalty of sin. The wages of sin is death. We recognize that. We despise it. But when we look at the article of justification, when we have that at the center of our theology, our practice, our lives, then we should be and are comforted to know that Jesus has taken away the sting of death. Death is not final. Nope. Those who die in him go on to live, our Lord declares. Your sins are forgiven. God says you are mine. For the believer, this is our hope and our consolation. As we mourn, as we shed our tears, Christ gives us a future promise when he says to those who mourn, you will be comforted. This comfort is a promise of Jesus that points us to life in his heaven. That's when you will truly be comforted away from this life. God will take you into eternity, and he gives you total comfort, total peace. Your joy will be full. In heaven, you will be satisfied. That's always a faithful answer to give to anyone who says, what will heaven be like? A question every pastor gets a lot. We don't know all the details, that's for sure, but what we do know is great. You will be satisfied. That's what Jesus says. You'll be content. Your hunger and thirst for righteousness will be met fully in heaven. Why? Because then no longer will you have flesh corrupted by sin to deal with when original sin truly is no more. All these things, my friends, are yours because of Jesus. The Beatitudes describe our life in him, and they also describe Jesus himself. Jesus, too, would be afflicted in his flesh, and he would mourn for humanity. He is meek and kind and desired righteousness for all and was willing to get that righteousness by dying on a cross. Jesus has inherited for us a kingdom by his blood, and he shows God's mercy to man when he rises from the dead. His heart is always pure towards his people. And he has established peace between God and man by his cross and his blood. By the work of Jesus, my friends, you are his saint, his holy child set apart for heaven. Let us pray that this, Jesus and his salvation, always remains central to our theology and our lives. And let us pray that God keeps us faithful to his promises. And as we mourn, may he always turn our hearts and our minds to look to his everlasting comfort that he has stored up for us in heaven as we live already right now as justified sinners, possessing already now in Christ his kingdom. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which truly does surpass all human understanding, may it guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now unto life everlasting. Amen.